Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the Lord bless us all the days of our life.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. For you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's Your Sunday Reader. This week you have with you myself, Dawn, and Father Mark.
Hello, Dawn.
You know, this is sort of fun. Every week it's a different combination of people, sometimes only Brian.
What's nice about this, too, is that you and I are sitting together in studio, I guess you could say,
Right, yes.
which usually we do it in our own
Through the
parishes.
computers,
And
right.
yeah,
This
so.
makes editing a whole lot easier,
Yes,
let
it
me
does.
tell you.
Yeah, nice to be back with you.
Well, I'm glad that you're here today. And so we have these wonderful readings, and especially this gospel reading, it got me thinking about divorce because we have, what Moses said and then what Jesus said, and then, you hear all these rumors throughout, the church believes this, no, the church believes that. So can you tell me, does the church permit divorce?
Let's see, how do I answer that? I don't know if I would say the church, because that's certainly what the disciples said, or what the people said to Jesus. Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss his wife. I don't know if I would say the church permits divorce, but it recognizes it.
Oh, okay.
And I think maybe that is a better word to say, that it recognizes it. The church would love to see, every marriage that happens within the Christian faith tradition to be a marriage that ends, as we always say, till death do us part. The reality is, it's not that way. And the church recognizes that, and the church also has a process of trying to look at the marriage quite sometimes very deeply and very intimately to say, the question becomes, did a sacrament take place? And so that we call that the annulment process, when a couple or one of the parties of the marriage that ended in divorce might come to the church and ask about getting an annulment. And so they do that, and then what can happen is the church would rule one way or the other whether a sacrament took place or not. So if they rule positively for the annulment, then what it's saying is, on the day of marriage that a sacrament really didn't take place. And so that's what it's looking at. And then, of course, that leads into all kinds of, questions for people like, well, what about my kids? The church will always recognize children as valid, that we don't have to look at them as, children that were born out of wedlock. No, that's not the case, because every child is a child of God, So children are valid, children are still recognized by the church. The marriage then becomes, it's not recognized by the church.
Oh, okay.
So, is it permissible? I don't know. It's recognized, is what it is.
Because there are certainly cases of, abuse or such like that that you would never want to force somebody to stay in a relationship like that. And
Right.
I mean, obviously God wouldn't want that to happen. So,
Right.
sort of interesting. And you see people that sometimes they don't go to communion because they're separated, or they don't go to church at all, and so. Wouldn't it be great to live in a perfect world? But the fact is, we don't.
We don't. And what's interesting, this is not an easy reading to preach on this weekend. For anyone out there who's trying to preach on this, it's a difficult reading, but I think it can be engaged, to be able to speak at a level that, even going, what does this kind of divorce mentality, where does it come from? And I think a lot of times, as I think about it myself, it comes from this kind of individualistic, identity that we kind of pride ourselves on. I am me, you can't take away my freedom and my choice, and whatever I make belongs to me, and you can't take it away from me. It becomes very individualistic, and I would say divorce is kind of an effect from that, because sometimes we take that individual kind of mentality into a marriage. Well, that's hard to do, because a marriage is something that's very different, and how we need to break out of the mold. To think that God brings two people together as husband and wife and joins himself to them. He joins the man and the woman together, but he also joins himself. And God is really all about relationship. Love and relationship is what God is about. God doesn't like fraction. He doesn't like individualism, if I can call it that. He is coming, obviously, as Christ has said, I came to bring all into one, unity, So certainly the importance of community and relationships is something that we, I think, need to really kind of look at again and see how that plays itself out in our lives. Because as the end of the gospel goes into, let the children come to me, and the disciples are trying to hold them off because they were insignificant in that day and time, in that culture. Yet Jesus is trying to point out a reality in that children recognize the importance of relationships. A child cannot feed himself. An infant cannot feed himself. He relies on a person, another human being, to feed him. And a child also recognizes how important relationships are, especially when they're hurt or hurting someone else who has to provide for them, you know, to take care of them. Maybe sometimes we lose that as we become adults, and we need to get back in touch with our child of God status as who we are.
You know, I think that sort of our culture is that it's so independent and I can make my own way, and so we try and live that out. But I got to thinking when you were talking about when we encounter a crisis, a death, or something big that happens, it's usually we try and gather people together, or people come to our rescue. And so it's in those crisis times that we draw together as a community. And if we only held on to that, remembering how much they helped me during a crisis, why can't I be in community with people in times of not crisis?
Right. I think of all the people in this current economy who've lost their jobs.
Right, yeah.
And have lost a sense of identity, you know, and it can be a time of renewal, you know. Yeah, we all like to be productive and have things to do and find ourselves contributing in some positive way to society and our community. But at the same time, maybe it's an opportunity for us to reconnect with mm-hmm. the relationships in our lives, too.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Just one thing that I was reading a commentary that it made me think. The difference between the first reading where we have the Genesis reading and how God's creating them, and that reading is set before sin entered the world. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the Gospel reading and even Moses talking about it, and that is after sin entered the world. And so after sin entered the world, you had to have laws and rules. And so here in the Gospel, we have the Pharisees trying to trick Jesus and to set up rules, and Jesus recognizes what it is. He says, because of the hardness of your hearts. And I got to thinking about hardness of hearts, and, you know, that causes what happens in today's reading, but it also happens what happens in our own culture, in our own world, and what is in my heart that stops me from recognizing God's presence or allowing God to work through me and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think about all the things that can get in the way, especially in this day and age, as we try to be people in community and society, mm-hmm. you know, things that can really distract us, you know, the downturn in the economy, the whole discussion around health care, politics,
right.
you know, all of this can really, and there are many heated debates going on in this, and people get very passionate about it. And we could even see the Pharisees and the scribes maybe being very passionate about the law,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus is going to try to raise and deepen, I guess I could say, their awareness
right.
of who he is and what's really most important.
Well, even in our own worlds and ministry, that I become hard in my heart because I think, oh, I have to act a certain way, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and,
right.
and so it's just not, you know, I am perfect.
Yes,
but
you are.
Sometimes I just I need to make examples for other people.
Right. Show your imperfection.
That's right. Well, with that, I think we've reached the end of our podcast, and so we thank you for joining us today and ask you to join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.